Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This is not my introduction. I actually got this. This is going to be my introduction, but I hadn't planned on it as my introduction until Paul began to preach. I was with Paul, mainly with Paul. Of course, Paula was there and Penny was there, but we were at their house yesterday and we were doing our taxes. Paul helped me, and I thank God for that. But we were together 2-3 hours, right? And I won't go into why it took so long, because I'll start ranting and raving. But we're together 2-3 hours. Paul asked me one question, and I want to correct him on one thing and one thing only. He said it was his opinion that we do not have a imputed. He might not have said it exactly this way, about Christ performing for us a legal righteousness. He didn't keep the law for us. It don't say those words. But it never says that Christ kept the law for us. He kept the law because he was the God-man.
Yes, sir.
And he loved God's law as no other human being ever has.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he kept it. And Paul, you're only wrong. That's not your opinion. Because the righteousness that we are imputed and imparted is the very righteousness of God. And that is much more than a legal righteousness. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was told to. He rested on the seventh day because he was done. Now in Romans 3 verse 27, Paul had no idea I was going here. I mean, he might have had a little idea if he did listen the way he did evidently listen to last Sunday's message. Romans 3, verse 27. I will try not to be too long, but we're planning on eating together. So hopefully no one has to be in a hurry. If you do, then I'm going to finish what I've got to say, what I have here to say this morning. Romans 3, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It's not just strongly discouraged. It's excluded. By what law? It's the same word used for the law of Moses, the law from Sinai, but it doesn't mean that here. By what authority? What principle? That's what the word law means, an authority, a principle.
Yes.
By what authority? Of works? Is it the law of works? No. It's excluded by the law of faith. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
The law of faith. That's not a Sinai law.
Nope.
It's not a religious law. It's not a denominational law. It's the law of God concerning faith.
Amen.
What faith really is. And faith intrinsically resides in God alone.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to try to, I hope this may help. Paul quoted, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Notice it never says repentance. Repentance is a gift of God, but it's not the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit never needs to repent.
Exactly.
Do you get what I'm... The fruit of the Spirit are those qualities, perfections, that reside in God alone.
Amen.
And he bestows these things upon his people by grace,
Amen.
Through his Spirit, through the encouragement of the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
If the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified does not encourage you enough, then you will never be truly encouraged.
Yeah. That's it.
Never. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law of works made, but by the law of faith? Therefore, we determine this to be a fact. I'm paraphrasing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. And remember, no word in Scripture is given nonchalantly, just because Paul wasn't just trying to mix up his language, as I often do. I often just try to mix up my language. It's because I'm not inspired. I don't know the facts as they always are, so I give it my best stab. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid.
Amen.
Yes. Yea. We establish the law. Where is boasting then? It is excluded.
Amen.
My title is, although this is not going to be the exclusive subject by any means. My title is Boasting is Excluded.
Amen.
The law, that is, as the word in its simple form in the Greek, means a regulation or a principle or an authority. The law for this exclusion of boasting is faith. Faith. One, because faith resides intrinsically only in God. If you have faith, it is a free, sovereign gift of mercy and compassion from God. But it is still, though it's given in measure, you don't have faith to the degree God does. I don't even know that in glory we will. He's God. We'll never become little gods. But if He's given you faith, it is a part of that tremendous, exalted, perfect character of God Himself that resides in you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. That is to say, the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ is unto all and upon all them that believe. When God gives you that measure of faith that is Christ's faith, and He gives that to you, it will manifest itself in belief of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You will come to Him. You will trust Him. You will bow to Him. You will seek His honor and glory. But you will not always succeed.
You're right.
You will fail. I think it was Micah said, when I fall, when I fall, I shall rise. Not if I fall, but when I fall.
Amen.
The conclusion to this is, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without not single one law deed. None. It's not our love for God. It's believing God.
Amen.
But believing God is energized by love. That's what the book says. That's what the book says. He goes on, though. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Start from the start. And this is when we believe. When we believe. And we'll see that more when He gives the prime example of this faith in Abraham. This wasn't God, as Earl used to say, this wasn't God believing for Abraham. This was Abraham believing God.
Amen.
But we know he only believed God because God gave him the faith with which to believe.
Amen. That's it.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Start and all the way through the middle. And in its ultimate consummation.
Yes.
I know men have said it this way, and I think it's totally valid, totally true. Once we get to glory, we won't need faith in the sense that we needed it here. And I added that. I haven't heard another one say that, and I don't mean to criticize, but not in the capacity that we need it now. We will be like Him because we will see Him with our eyes as He is.
Amen.
We will be fully and finally conformed to the image of His Son. But God's doing that now. But it's God that's doing it. It's not us doing it for God.
Exactly.
So, he then says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Start to finish. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Try to quickly give us a little help with that. The God of the Jews, the God of the Gentiles, he is the God of both.
Amen.
That means he is the creator, he is the ruler, he is the judge.
Yes.
He is the redeemer. If anybody is redeemed, Jew or Gentile, he's the God that does it.
Amen.
There was not Jehovah for the Israelites and then Baal for somebody else. Baal was a figment of men and women's imagination.
Yes, sir. That's it.
But the Jews have become so self-centered and self-absorbed, they thought God was just their God, as though they owned Him.
Exactly.
But God owns all men.
Amen.
Jew and Gentile.
Yes, sir.
To be long-suffering and fit them to destruction because and through justice because of their sins, or through free sovereign mercy and grace in Christ bestowed upon them freely by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles only. Now, what about this same difference, this difference between by and through? This is a little tough. If you try to look up the actual meanings of by and through, it could throw you for a loop. But I hope God enables me to help us this morning in this. Seeing it is one God which shall justify thee. Notice now the phrase is what? Circumcision. Not Jew. Although that's implied, but it's not Jew. He just mentioned Jew and Gentile. Now he says circumcised and uncircumcised. Now, let us never forget, not every Jew was necessarily circumcised. There may have been some rebels amongst the camp throughout the years that were never circumcised. Correct? If you had believing, disbelieving parents, a mother and father that could care less about the worship of God in Israel at those days, you may have never been circumcised as a male child. This is talking now. He takes it from what your genealogy is to either religious or not religious.
Yeah.
That's the meaning by circumcision.
Yeah.
If you were circumcised under law, it's because somebody was religious.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Somebody at least gave some regard to the command of God.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were uncircumcised, it meant they did not.
Exactly.
They did not. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. The circumcision, not the Jew as I pointed out. The circumcision, the uncircumcision, not Gentile necessarily, because there were some Gentiles who were circumcised. Especially when they came into the camp of Israel and became a part of the camp of Israel. So you have the circumcised, the uncircumcised. This refers to this. To religious advantage. He's already pointed it out in 3:1. A circumcised person no doubt had some religious advantage. You get what he's getting at now? Now, religious, but not necessarily spiritual closeness. Paul mentions that to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2:11-12. The commonwealth of Israel. And they were, in the fact that they had the oracles of God, they were close to God.
Yeah.
The Gentiles had none of this.
No. That's right.
None of this. Mm-hmm. So it's religious, not spiritual necessarily. It has to do with closeness. The difference is a practical, not a theological. That is, okay, there's a kind of faith that God saves some by, and then there's another kind of faith that God saves some through. That's what I'm trying to point out. The faith is not different. Some were just close, therefore it was just by. Others were far off, therefore it is through. In other words, the circumcised had works, but he didn't necessarily have faith.
That's it.
The circumcised may have well had works, but he didn't have faith. Faith is essential. Thus, they're justified by faith. The uncircumcised had neither works nor faith. Now, they may have had some works, but they were totally heathenistic works. The uncircumcised had neither works nor faith. Faith is essential. Therefore, it's not God gave them some works and some faith. He gave them what? Faith. Because it's only by true God-given faith that you ever truly work for God.
Amen.
This is, and faith produces work.
Yes. Yes.
Obedience.
Yes,
effort.
Yes.
Desire.
Yes,
and I mentioned that last Sunday. By faith, Noah, what? He didn't say, all right, the flood coming, I'm going to find me the biggest tree I could find and hang on to it with all my might. God said, build a boat.
Amen.
Didn't he? So what does faith make him do? Builds a boat. God said in some way, God, and I think it's through Adam and Eve, but God had informed Abel and Cain what to do. The right way of sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. Abel had faith, so what did he do? He offered a blood sacrifice. Cain did not. Therefore, he had no blood in his sacrifice. Now, that's brought us up to this. Do we then make void the law through faith? I might not even finish what I was going to say about Paul. We were together 3 or 4 hours and never mentioned this part. And when he began to read, I thought, he ought not be doing this. This is my territory this morning. Because this is going to be my subject. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the faith. Now, had he asked me yesterday about this, I would have said, Paul, don't preach on that. I'm going to preach on that. But I'm glad he didn't ask me because God's in this thing.
Yes, sir.
God's in this thing. And God evidently wants us to hear this twice this morning.
Yes, sir.
And as God is my witness, Paul and I never discussed this, did we? Never did. Now, Paul asked the question about, and he's right. Now, I know the Spirit of God was there in this. Paul asked the question about those who hold to faith.
Yeah.
Do we make void the law through faith? He didn't say, does faith make void the law? Faith doesn't have to do with the law.
That's right.
The law is not of faith.
Exactly.
See? But we do have something to do with the law. One, we're all under it by nature. And our old nature, our flesh, is still under that law. God has not delivered our flesh from the law. He's delivered us from the law.
Amen.
Now, before I go any further, someone says, well, does that mean I'm supposed to obey God's law in the flesh? You can't. I'm not saying to you it's okay if you're under grace to break the law. I'm telling you, you break the law whether you want to or not. You tell me you keep the law, I'll call you to your face a liar.
Exactly.
A liar.
Yeah.
And as Paul ably said, we're not trying to break God's law. But I'm telling you the truth this morning. I don't go around thinking I got to keep the law today. If you do, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're miserable. You gotta be miserable or deceived. One or the other.
Yeah.
One or the other. So Paul asked this question about those who hold to faith only. And that's the context. Do we, who? Not everybody, we. Not the old pontifical we. We as believers. That's the whole context. Do we who are believers, and I am paraphrasing, but do we who are believers then make void the law? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Does our stance for faith alone start to finish? And if your stance, if you're not facing this thing through faith and through faith from start to finish, you will have a rude awakening one day. We'll have a rude awakening. Hebrews is clear. These all died in faith. But it's clear from the context, somewhere along the line, God gave them faith to start with. And this life they lived then was a life of faith. It had utter failures. Every one of them did.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them. Look at Jephthah. Made a covenant with God that the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll kill it and sacrifice it to you. It was his only daughter. Be careful when you promise God something.
Yes, sir.
Because God's not going to accept, God's not going to let it slide because of our foolishness.
Exactly.
Hmm? Start to finish. Does our stance for faith alone start to finish? Do we negate the law through faith? Paul is clear. God forbid. Now just briefly, Paul's ably dealt with some of it. Believers acknowledge the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good.
Amen.
If you find somebody that says they believe in free sovereign grace, but they're angry about the law, they don't love God's law, they don't like God's law, they don't care about God's law, and they think it's okay for them to break God's law, they don't know what they're talking about.
You're right.
It's never okay for us to break the law. But we do all the time. And that may be a conundrum. It may be a cop-out to some. But let me tell you something. When a person is unregenerate, they're not going to understand the truth. And you can't ease it and kind of put law and works and faith kind of together just enough to help them to maybe not be so offended by grace. They don't get it to start with. And when you mix it up, you are dishonoring Christ. You are not helping out that person's soul. You are not. I would not be. Believers acknowledge the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good. Chapter 7, verse 12. Believers acknowledge the law's defining of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Chapter 3, verse 12. And it still tells us what sin is. It's still a sin to commit fornication. Right? It's still a sin not to rest on the Sabbath. But how many of us do? How many of us really do? Oh, we can say, well, I don't do much work on Saturday. I stay home. At best, I go get groceries. No, we're talking about keeping the Sabbath. But that's no less moral than loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Hmm?
It's all still sin. So don't misunderstand me here. It's all still sin. If you don't honor your mother and father, it's still a sin. But you're not going to get merit before God by honoring your mother and father. Because even if you could do that one, you still have 10 more to deal with. And they encompass hundreds of others. I know the natural mind looks at this and says, that don't make sense. It does with God because He's the one that designed all this.
Amen.
I've got to tell you, there seems to be some overlap to me. But I know these two things, law and grace, are separate like this. They're separate like this. Believers acknowledge the law's defining of sin. But believers also know the law don't really tell us how bad sin really is. It tells us what sin is.
Amen.
But it don't tell us how bad sin really is. We see how bad sin really is when we see God the Father turning His back on the Son when He hung on the tree because God seen sin in His Son. That tells me how bad it really is. If He'll do that to Him, what do I deserve? What do I deserve? Huh? I wish today I could tell you from this day forward I'm going to start obeying and keeping and honoring God's law. But I've got to be honest with you, I can't. I can't. And there have been times I have tried. And at best, it don't last long. And usually it's fraught full of self-approval. I didn't mean for that to happen. I didn't mean to say that way. I was putting forth my best effort. The law doesn't demand our best effort. It doesn't demand our best effort. It demands it be kept completely and wholly and absolutely. Believers acknowledge the law's entrance, that is the giving of the law, that the offense by what? Abound. Abound. Romans 5:20. But here we go. I've got five things. There's more than five. But believers reject. Now, Paul is absolutely correct. Everything he said is right about, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. And he said enough that I could have not said another word. But this is where I'm at in our study. And I have struggled with this, as my wife will testify to you. I have struggled with this for the past week. And I have rewrote this and rewrote this and rewrote this. One evening, yeah, matter of fact, Sunday evening, when baby were sitting just watching TV, she was watching TV, and I rewrote this thing twice that evening. And I thought, it still ain't it. When I looked down, I had a lot of I's in it. Me, me, me. I thought, that ain't right. So I rewrote it again that Sunday evening. And then I still realized, this ain't it. Now listen to me. Believers reject any and all overextension of the law's purpose as well. It is not establishing the law if you extend the law further than what the law is designed for. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? If you said, well, the law is for this, but it's not really for this, you're not establishing the law. That means to make it to stand, to confirm its rightful purpose. It doesn't say by faith we keep the law. It says by faith we establish the law. So again, I say believers reject any and all overextension of the law's purpose. This too is to establish the law. Just five things. Believers reject. Reject. It's not just something that's not really, they're dabbling in a little bit, but you know, but just don't make it the prime thing. Believers reject. And when I use this word, I'm going to use it five, well, I may use it more than five times, but it's five, all five of these things, I got this, reject. It means the same thing as to oppose, or to be against, or to be anti. And I will say it clearly, I am anti-law. When it comes to these five things I'm going to give you this morning, I am anti-law. I am Mason antinomian. I am against God's law when it comes to these five things. I am not going to cow down and preach and try to mix law and grace. Believers reject law works for righteousness before God because the book says so. And that means I'm against the law for righteousness before God. Now, if I could keep it, if I could do it, it'd be all right. But I can't. God's shown me I can't. And that'll never get better in the flesh. In the flesh. Believers reject law works for righteousness before God. But having used that phrase, to reject or oppose or to be against or to be anti, let me say this. A person who uses the truth of the grace of God to simply live a life of gratification to the flesh has never been born of God. Has never been born of God. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The old is still there, but the new must be there.
Amen.
Or you've never been saved by God.
Amen.
And that new man never leads you astray. Never. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In what righteousness and true holiness? Believers reject the law works for righteousness before God. We're not rejecting the law itself in its rightful purpose. But we do reject men's lying about the law. And in that sense, I am. And we are, if you're a believer, we are anti-law for righteousness before God. If you're not, you're not a true believer. That's that clear. Believers reject the law as a life giver. Paul has mentioned some of these things. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You know, some of the old Puritans, and maybe all of them, I don't know, I certainly can't say all of them, but some of them believe they had law. You know what they thought? Because God uses a law work first. No. He may use the law, and does use the law, but it's not a law work, it's a God work in grace. It's God opening your heart and your ears and your eyes spiritually to see what the law really says about you. and about me. You will see that the law is holy, but you are not. And the commandment is holy, just, and good, but you are not. And if you see anything else in the law, your eyes are not opened. Believers reject the law as a life giver. Here's the third one. Believers reject law keeping as a rule of walk. I want to read this one to you. Now, Paul ably, that's not even a word, ably. Paul ably gave us this, but this is what it says. Galatians 6, verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. And I have to admit, I've done that before myself. Now, you good church believing Calvinists, y'all ain't never done that, have you? Now, your preacher has, but not you. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they can constrain you to be circumcised. That's not the only problem. These people were not denying the lordship of Christ or the necessity of blood redemption, but they're saying you got to have circumcision along with that. And different groups of people use the Seventh-day Adventists are not hammering on circumcision. They're hammering on the Sabbath, right? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Here it is. Here, just enough. Just a little bit. We're not going to go any further than circumcision. We won't go any further than you got to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're not going to go any further than that. They constrain you to be circumcised only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Our only hope before God is the cross of Christ.
Amen.
For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. I was the one that got them on the right path. And there's more to it than that, I'm sure. But that's what they're talking about. Well, those folks got it now because I came along. And I told them what it was all really about. I gave them both sides of the coin. Now let me tell you, on God's coin, it's grace on this side and it's grace on that side.
There you go. That's right.
And you either going to be saved by that coin or you ain't going to be saved at all.
For neither
they themselves who are circumcised keep the law but desire to have you circumcised. They may glory in your flesh. But God forbid. That sounds like He's against something here, don't it? Ain't it sound like you, He's anti-something here?
Yes, sir.
Huh? When you see a God forbid, there's always going to be something that this writer is against.
Exactly.
Now, yes or no?
That's right, yes.
So, you know, we can come up with all these epitaphs that we call people. Well, they're this or they're that. Meanings change.
Yeah.
There are differences in certain things. So when you just come up with this phrase, well, He's antinomian. Maybe He is, maybe He's not. According to what you mean. Most time we don't try to explain it. We just throw out the epitaph.
Yeah, you're right.
I do it. And you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, He's an Arminian. What does that matter? We all were by nature one time.
Yes, sir.
Every last one of us. And if God don't save Arminians, then nobody's ever going to be saved.
That's right.
Now, He don't save them by Arminianism. He saves them by Christ. Can an Arminian be saved? What a stupid question. That's like asking, can a drunk be saved? Of course. Can a homosexual be saved? Of course. Being an Arminian is not the unpardonable sin. Jeez, what are we... But we love our epitaph. We love to throw out these little phrases. And you know what it does? It usually shuts the conversation down to any real discussion.
Yeah.
And any real talk. Because immediately you've already put somebody on their heels. When I was younger, I loved to do that. I about got in a fight at a golf course one time because of that kind of crap. Sorry, burp out the crap. Is that a proper word now? Wait a minute. Paul calls all of his legal righteousness and all of his rites and ceremonies dung. Dung. Is it because he hated the rites and ceremonies? Well, no. Is it wrong? Is it because the rites and ceremonies were wrong? Is it because keeping God's law is wrong? Is it because living righteously is wrong? No, but he misunderstood the whole thing.
Exactly.
He wasn't counting the law as dung, but his total absolute misunderstanding and misuse of it. It's dung. Now, I really, you know, I've told you some of you before, after a message is over, if you didn't get anything out of it, then don't come criticize. It's just walking out the door. If you did, then it's good. It's encouraging. But it's discouraging when all you get is complaint or somebody wants to point out something you said wrong or something you didn't say. To those people, anybody, any of you, anybody out there, come up here and do this for about 30 years and see what it's like. See what it's like. I am but a clay pot. I am overly prone to false emotion and opinion and of saying the wrong thing. But God's word is true nevertheless.
Amen.
Think of it. Why didn't God make his preachers more perfect, more upright, more outstanding? Why? Why didn't he give men who publicly minister to others the gospel? Why didn't he give them like a special dose of grace just to make us stand up a little bit above? Now you can talk about pride and all that. He did. He sent the preacher into the world and we killed him.
Amen.
He sent the perfect prime preacher into the world and we slaughtered him on a cross. If we were that, you would kill us too.
Yes.
Because fallen humanity, especially unregenerate humanity, we cannot stomach true holiness and true righteousness. Believers reject keeping the law as a rule of walk. Look at it. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now he doesn't say the world's not still in here. But I'm crucified to it. And since God saved you, don't you know that's true? You view this world totally different. You view yourself totally different. Now you know how corrupt you are. And you got some understanding of how glorious Jesus Christ is. In this world, as you grow older, you become weaker and weaker. And this world loses its appeal. You begin to really understand what Paul meant when he says, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Because when you do, you'll suffer. You'll suffer. Doesn't mean you're going to be lost, but it'll mean you'll suffer. Before I move on, Tim James, I don't remember, it's either a doctor that moved and came to listen to him, moved from Florida way off, or this is another guy. And he heard Tim James preach for months and months. The man's wife became very ill. And she was in the hospital. And of course, the husband had cared for her. And Tim went to the hospital to visit the husband. He was there, and the wife was in the hospital. He said something along this line. This is my paraphrase. Pastor, I've been listening to you for some time now. And do I understand you right that you're saying that what I do in this world doesn't really matter before God? Are you saying to me that what I do in this world doesn't merit anything before God? He said, I've cared for this woman for months, and I've fed her, and I've clothed her, and I've wiped her backside. He said, are you mean to tell me that means nothing before God? And Tim says, yes, that's what I mean to tell you. It merits you nothing before God. He said, now I think you're a good man for doing it. And I wish more people were like you and did more of that. But it's not going to gain you any favor before God.
Amen.
And then Tim indicated to me, if I thought that what you were doing was flowing from faith rather than reward, I would rejoice in you. But because it seems as though it's flowing from reward, you're doing this not just because you care for it. Tim wasn't saying he didn't care for her. But you do it because you care for them, whether God ever acknowledges it or not. Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So again, I say, look at it. For in Christ Jesus, Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. What avails? But a new creature. If I believe God's got the power to bring me out of the spiritual grave by His Spirit and convert me by His gospel, I better believe He's got the power by that to do that for the rest of my life.
Yes, sir.
To continually convert me by the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
To continually keep me in line. To lift me up when I fall flat on my face.
Yes, sir.
A new creature, and as many as walk according to this rule. There's your rule to walk by, folks.
Yes,
sir. Isn't it?
Yeah.
A new creature. Believers reject sanctification and perfection by law. Hebrews 10, 10 through 14. The law is declared to be a distinct covenant.
Yes, sir.
Different from and separate from the covenant of God in Christ by grace. First covenant, second covenant. First covenant taken away by the second covenant being established.
Yes,
and it's that covenant, the second covenant, that sanctified and perfected us. We don't see it, but it's so. It's so. Fifthly, believers reject law works as their preserving or continuing factor. You know these things. Galatians chapter 3. I've got to hurry. I'm getting hungry. O foolish Galatians, who hath tricked you, pulled a slick one on you? Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Now wait a minute. Had they gone back to drinking and drugging it up and whoring up at the pagan temple? That ain't what he's talking about, is it? That wasn't the problem. They turned to what? Circumcision. Just circumcision. Just circumcision. That was all. Or was it? Or was it? Look, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? In other words, this thing looked like it was real with you.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It don't mean they literally got to go back in time and see Jesus Christ crucified, or he was re-crucified, or virtually crucified in front of them. In other words, he's saying God made this thing real to you. About the cross work of Jesus Christ. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law. Notice the phrase.
Yeah.
Or by the hearing of faith.
Amen.
Are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the... Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why didn't he use the word law there?
Nope.
Are you made perfect by the what? The flesh. You know why? Those things go together. The law deals with our flesh.
Yes, sir.
Not the new man and the fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Now, Paul, but you and I could have collaborated, and I said, you're doing that great, and I'm going to put it in just a little bit different way. Well, I did. And you did. But that's of God. Because free, sovereign grace is the only way.
Amen.
And if you begin in the Spirit, you must continue by that.
Right.
And God will make sure to it of that. You're kept by the power of God through faith.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Because remember, this faith is not you working for God. It's God working in you.
Amen. That's it.
Joe says, I like that. I like that too. This only what I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? And I have been. No doubt I have been before. Maybe I don't use a side eye work, but I'll think about baptism. Now, come on now. Church membership. Right? Witnessing for the Lord. Now, none of those things are wrong, are they? But they don't gain you any merit before God. Caring for one another. Seeing somebody's got a need and you help them out. The law testifies to that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it don't earn you any merit. If you do it in the true attitude of love and faith, it's because God's already done it for you.
Amen.
He's working in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. So let me sum this up. All boasting is flesh-centered.
Yes.
No more, my God, I boast no more. I do with these.
Yeah.
And I still do in the old man. But bless God, I know better than the new man.
Yeah.
How about you? I know better than the new man. All boasting is flesh-centered. Law boasting is flesh-centered.
Exactly.
You see, the law doesn't tell you mortify the flesh. The law says your flesh better be perfect.
That's right.
Grace says mortify your members which are upon the earth.
That's right.
Kill them.
That's right.
Yeah. You've got these thoughts in your mind just taking you away from things. Kill it. Pray unto God. God help me to kill it. And He will. For a time. For a time. And then it'll arise again.
Yes, sir.
And you have to cry out, oh God, kill it! Kill it! Yes, we're told mortify. But it's only if He works in you both to will and to do. Because if He lifts His restraint for a moment, we won't. All boasting is flesh-centered. Law boasting is flesh-centered. Faith looks to Christ for all. Start, middle, finish.
Amen.
From predestination and election, all the way throughout, all the way to glorification. It's all grace.
Yes, sir.
And everyone here knows that. Everyone here knows that.
Yes,
my thing here, and my whole meaning is not, oh, I want to set y'all straight. I pray God He helps set me straight. Because I need that grace just as much as you do. And sometimes I feel like I need it more. Although I know that ain't true because you're as bad as I am. You're as bad as I am. We all do the same things. Remember when we was in Romans 1 and 2? You know, we like to look at a passage and say, well, that's not me. No, that's us. Oh, God help us, that's us. Start to finish. Now, Paul would sum it up this way. I know I've been lengthy. I was about to say I apologize, but I don't apologize. I'll just look at it. Galatians 2. Now, read it with me. Read along with me. I don't want you to read it with me. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, that's before I did this to him, for I withstood him to the face.
Yeah.
For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision.
Yep.
Now I know we all laugh about Tim James talking about going over our pork chops on his breath. It ain't, we don't even have to do with that. He was just eating with the Gentiles.
Yep.
I don't know what they were eating. And we laugh like that because I think the seriousness of this thing scares the bejeebies out of us. Don't it? Because it could be a simple fact of removing from one table to another.
Exactly.
That can be what? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this hypocrisy, this dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That's serious, ain't it?
Sir.
And this is just moving from one place to another. That's all it takes. Yeah, do we get the magnitudes? It was not, I denied the blood of Christ. It don't have to be that bad. It's all bad if it denies the truth of the gospel. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Unchecked, it will spread. And it won't stop with circumcision. It won't stop with who you eat with or who you don't eat with. It will not stop there. It will continue until it tears the whole local assembly apart. I didn't say the body of Christ. I said the whole local assembly apart. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the brothers? How did he compel them? Just by getting up and being an example of removing from Gentile brethren and going over here with the Jewish brethren because he feared them. That's all he did. But that's what he did. Now look at this. This has got a little bit of sarcasm in it. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. But look. He's not talking to just a bunch of ritual-keeping, law-observing Jews. Look, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Amen.
But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Absolutely not. Don't think because this is true, that must be true.
Exactly.
You don't do it. Yep. Look, for if I build again the things which I destroyed.
Yeah.
What's he talking about? His law works.
Exactly.
His ceremony. His ritual under the law.
Yep.
In which he says that when he did these things, he was blameless.
Yeah.
Now, not blameless before God, but he was thinking, blameless. He's talking about it. If I erect those things back, I make myself a transgressor. When you put yourself back under the law, you're making yourself a transgressor of that law. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, remember he called them dung. Not the law's dung. But his misunderstanding and misapplication of it.
Exactly.
For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Now, listen to me. I know I've used a similar illustration. When a woman is married. And she's married to this one husband. She is only to be married to that one husband until he dies. Then she is free, totally free, to marry someone else. This is law. To marry another husband.
Yep.
To love him.
Yep.
To cherish him.
Yep.
And she won't be an adulteress. But that doesn't mean that she hates the first husband or tries to disrespect her first husband. But if she tries to still show affection to the first husband, she applies her affection and devotion and submission all to that first husband. Something screwed up here.
Exactly.
Divorce. Not divorce. Boy, that was what they call a Freudian slip, wasn't it? Death severs the relationship.
Yes, sir.
Severs. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Not so that I might live to self. No, 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 no. That I might live unto God. If you see it any other way, then you're not really dead to the law. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. Now, in the flesh, in this body, is what he's talking about. Not my members which are upon this earth, fornication and adultery. That's not what he's talking about. I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
Now here's an amazing. Scary is not really, it's not even a bad, it's not a good word. It's not a good word. This is just an astounding thing that Paul even says it. For if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Whew, what a statement. Oh. Father, bless us. Give us fellowship together and a good meal together. In Christ's name, amen.